In one of the books about Anne of Green Gables, there is a staunch pillar of the Presbyterian Church named Miss Cornelia. And one day Miss Cornelia asks a woman named Susan about the health of one of their friends. "Oh," Susan answers, "I'm afraid she's going to have to rely on the Lord now." Miss Cornelia answers, "Oh no, surely it isn't as bad as all that." Relying on the Lord, is that just for bad times? Well, heads up, Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer for folks who know they have to rely on God fully and utterly for their lives and for the life of the world. All others need not apply. Or in the case of church folks, these can become words spoken in mechanical repetition. It's no surprise that Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them a prayer. They see him pray a lot. And surely they can see a connection between his praying and the depth of his spirit. And apparently John the Baptist had taught his disciples a signature prayer. And Jesus' disciples were saying, "We want one too." So Jesus does teach them a very basic prayer. You may have noticed it sounding a little different as Chuck read it from Luke. The version we would find in Matthew has some additions and is closer to the prayer that we regularly pray. But what are the Lord's Prayer's basics? Jesus begins with that mind-blowing opening, "Our Father." He's saying it's okay. You should call God Father or Dad the way I do, because he's yours too. And right after, he says, "Hallowed be your name," or "Let your name be reverenced or held sacred." And then a declaration with potentially earth-shattering consequences, "Your kingdom come." But more on this later. And then there are three basic petitions or askings for everyday living. "Give us our bread for each day. Give us forgiveness, which we may be open to receiving as we forgive others. And don't bring us to trials or temptations to give up our faith too severely." So goes Jesus' basic training for prayer. For everyone who has to rely on the Lord. Do we? Well, of course we do. It's just that we easily forget in the rush of our lives, the hundreds of choices and actions every day that make us think we are and have to be in charge. And in the layers of abundance of material things that can disguise their true source. Supermarkets and kitchens full of produce and processed foods from nation and worldwide producers, provisions to last us weeks and months, strawberries year-round, that seem far removed from the Creator's work in the sun and rain and soil that has brought forth the miracle of food, of daily bread. Of course we are dependent on God. And more than we individually. And here's where I believe that bread and prayer and justice meet. Give us each day our daily bread. When Jesus first taught this piece of the prayer, it was to disciples who were on the road with him. Where they would find or be given food each day was a live question. What's more, the disciples would be sent in mission into the world where food for the day would again be a real concern. And the prayer for daily bread would bring to mind a past miracle of God's providing for the people. You know, when the Lord gave the manna to Moses and Israel as they wandered through the wilderness after the Exodus on the way to the Promised Land. The manna wasn't only a lesson in God's giving, it was a lesson in Israel's need to trust God. The bread from heaven, as it was called, God promised would come each day. And for each day, the Hebrews were instructed to take just as much as their families needed for that day and no more. Taking more manna or saving up some for the next day was a sign of a lack of trust and that would go bad. Taking just enough ensured there'd be enough for other families. So Israel's daily bread in the wilderness was about recognizing the need for limits as well as trusting God, and the importance of enough for all. When we pray our prayer for daily bread today, can we hear it this way? Not only about receiving, but about limits and sustaining the community, in this case, the community of all humankind. No, we aren't going to stop stocking our kitchen shelves and produce drawers and go out foraging for food every day. That isn't realistic. But it is very real today to see the need for limits on our consumerist habits in the name of justice and survival. For the lives of others who are praying for daily bread as they rely on God. Jesus follows up his prayer with a parable about a midnight plea from friend to friend. Who's that knocking? It's Joe. Joe, what in God's name are you doing out there at this hour? Well, an old buddy of mine just showed up, and I'm clean out of bread. And this is my problem, how? Well, my wife noticed you're baking a lot out in the courtyard this afternoon. You got about 3 loaves or so? Geez, Joe, I'd love to help. You know I would, but the missus and I and the kids are all in bed, and if I get up, it'll be chaos. So, good luck with those loaves. At this point, a little interpretation is in order. As crazy as it sounds, a man going to his friends for bread at midnight, Jesus is reflecting his culture. Because giving hospitality to others, even surprise visitors in the night, was a top value. Someone who refused to give hospitality for whatever reason was bringing shame on himself. So maybe not so crazy going to a friend's to ask for bread. And extending this line of reasoning, a friend who would refuse to help a friend to provide hospitality, even though he had the bread on hand, was also in a shameful position. Here we run into a little language challenge in the lesson of this parable. As it stands, Jesus seems to say, I tell you, even if he won't get up and give him anything as a friend, he'll get up and do it because the asker is so darn persistent. And the point of the parable as it relates to prayer seems to be that God expects us to be persisting in prayer. And we should expect persistent prayer to be answered. But the same Greek wording could mean that the friend will get up and give his friend what he asks because he, the giver, wants to remain without shame in his culture. God, of course, is without shame. But whether we hear in it the persistence of the asker for bread or the need of the responder to honor the demands of his culture, we can hear the justice demands in the prayer for daily bread. It can be our prayer, recognizing that we need enough to live, but not so much as to overconsume Earth's resources. Or it might be the prayer of the world's hungry people. Give us each day our daily bread. We are one humanity praying to God. We know that food pantries right in our area have been busier than ever during these tough economic times. But the challenges of bread for all the Earth's peoples are shifting. Climate change is one big reason. Here's one story. We know that the intensity of storms and the changes in weather patterns and the rising of sea levels are disrupting agricultural cycles around the world. Big populations of people are beginning to be prevented from pursuing their normal livelihoods of farming and fishing. And the greatest impact is on the world's poor and vulnerable. And one of hundreds of examples comes from Ghana, the home country of some of our own church family. The northern region of Ghana has sustained semi-nomads and farmers for years. But because of climate change, conditions that are more like the Sahara Desert, which is farther to the north, have moved south. Little rain, hotter temperatures, violent storms. And so the land that had grown crops for farmer families for thousands of years no longer does. And hundreds of families have fled the north and headed south toward the Ghana coast and the capital city, Accra, looking for ways to work and survive. And there's a strong infrastructure in Accra and the coastal towns, but not enough to continue to support the influx of migrants. Many now live in impoverished settlements next to the sea, and that means they're subject to more storms and a possible rise in sea level. And there are stories like this by the hundreds around the world. We can be sure that from these communities, the prayer that includes, "Give us this day our daily bread," rises regularly from God's children who know how deeply they rely on God, the Creator. And so when we pray this same prayer, do we hear the bread and prayer and justice connection? Does it compel us to ponder the limits implied in the phrase daily bread? And to hear the need of the needy as they pray in the same words? Are we asking God who gave manna to Israel to give another miracle? The wisdom and compassion the world needs so that we can work for a sustainable earth with bread enough for everyone's daily need. As people who also pray, "God's kingdom come, God's will be done," do we have any other choice? Amen.